So a new school year is beginning across the country and here in TCEA's home state of Texas. And throughout the summer, educators have been working to find the right tools, the right techniques, the right ways to teach and create effective learning, regardless of the format of the coming school year. For some, it might be a hybrid school year. For some, it might be in person, starting at the beginning. And for some, it might be totally remote. For others yet, it might switch back and forth between these formats. So, we've all got a lot to think about and prepare for as we jump into a new school year. And this summer, we've been trying to cover the tools and techniques, the ideas that can get you energized for this new school year. But club members, this week in our meeting at the EdTech Club, our guest speaker is going to talk to us about a slightly different aspect of this new school year. This week, TCEA's Director of Government Relations, Jennifer Berglund, joins us to talk about the policies and tools that state governments, education agencies, and policymakers here in Texas are doing and making available for educators and school districts. So this week is all about policy and funding and how that might affect the coming school year. So whether you're an administrator, a classroom teacher, or someone who works elsewhere in the education ecosystem, this conversation should be a great place to learn a little bit more about what's going on in terms of the policies that will affect this coming school year. We're going to talk about learning management systems like Schoology, which Texas schools can now get a license for 2 years, about school funding mechanisms, about attendance taking, and all the details of education that have to get worked out at the state level. Lucky for us, Jennifer Berglund has been involved in this process, has been watching this process, and as our guest speaker, is going to share her insights. So, if it sounds like a lot, well, it kind of is, but that's okay because it's useful info. And it all starts right now. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another meeting of the EdTech Club, the podcast from TCEA. I'm Andrew Rauschen. Thanks for being here. I know it's a busy time of year, so even taking out 20 or so minutes to chat with us is always appreciated. As I said, we're covering some of the things that the Texas Education Agency and others are doing to help resource schools and districts and teachers, as well as parents and families. And if you're outside of Texas, we hope this conversation will at least give you some ideas, some places to look, and some things to consider wherever you are. So I'll stop yammering for now, and I'll turn it over to Jennifer Berglund.
So if I've been living under a rock all summer, which I sort of have, as my colleague, you know this, but if I haven't been paying attention, what have we seen over the summer in terms of policymakers, the Texas Education Agency, and the groups here in our home state of Texas, especially? We've seen a lot of different messages over the summer, and we've seen different messages even in the last couple of weeks. So if I'm an educator, I'm your rank and file classroom teacher, and I'm trying to get caught up and understand what's been going on in terms of policy over the summer. What's the course that you've kind of seen?
Well, you know, typically in a summer, that's where educators are, you know, kind of catching their breath. I know always towards the end of July, when I was a teacher, I started getting excited about going back to school and thinking about my bulletin boards. And, you know, I always wanted to get in early as soon as the floors would get waxed and they would allow us to go back into the classroom. I wanted to get in there early so I could set my room up. And I've already seen pictures of teachers that have begun to do that. But this summer has been, has a new twist with the COVID pandemic. Many educators have been frantically trying to retool their skills so that they can teach in a digital environment. So a lot of school district has been holding professional development opportunities for school for teachers, and teachers have reached out on their own. Our own association, we have absolutely extremely talented professional developers, and they've been creating online courses to help teachers kind of become equipped, because in the spring when this all just happened, teachers were, many of them, not completely skilled in teaching in a remote environment. And so it was kind of haphazard. So this summer, the teachers and even administrators have been helping them do that. And at the same time, the policymakers at the state level primarily and district levels have been trying to figure out what is this next school year going to look like. And I think heading into the summer, I think everybody was, you know, thinking, okay, we're not only going to open our buildings for all students in August, but we're going to open early. I know our commissioner in Texas really encouraged school districts to open earlier than normal so that if there are outbreaks during the school year, they'd have, you know, they'd maybe have a couple of weeks where they could shut down and not miss any school days. And so a lot of school districts kind of readjusted their calendar to do that. And then when COVID kind of had kind of surged in, at least in our state, policymakers began trying to decide, what are we going to do and how are we going to handle this and are we going to open early, et cetera. Our commissioner and the Texas Education Agency, and I'm sure many other states did this as well, came up with, you know, one of the things that school districts have to grapple with is how do they get their funding. And typically, the way school districts in Texas get their funding is from ADA, which is the average daily attendance of the students. And school districts are, by law and policy, are required to come up with a time of the day that they take roll. And I know in my school district, when I was a tech director, it was by 10 o'clock or around 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm.
I do remember my teachers panicking when they forgot to turn in attendance. Yeah. I even remember like fully grown retirement age, very respected educators having a mild freak out when, 14-year-old teacher's aide from the office shows up to collect the roll.
Exactly. Because they were supposed to, it's kind of a snapshot time. So so if a kid comes in at the end of the day, like maybe they are getting their, you know, they're at the doctor's office in the morning, they show up at 11, but you take attendance at 10, the school district doesn't get credit for that child being there. So you're going to lose a little bit of funding. So that's the way we've always done it, at least since I was an educator. But when they're at home, how do you take attendance? And so the Texas Education Agency actually has a whole FAQ on how to do this in this new environment. And there are two different methods, synchronous and asynchronous. And if they're in school, then you're just going to do it the way you've always done it. So there's not a question about that. But if they're at remote learning, they have identified synchronous basically means you're with those kids really almost face to face, kind of like in a Zoom meeting. And so you are, you know, at that moment, whenever that attendance taking time is, you're going to count your kids that are on the Zoom, and those kids, you're going to get credit for that. You're going to turn it into your school district. That would be called synchronous. Asynchronous is you're sometimes with them face to face, sometimes not. And the agency, if you're planning to do asynchronous learning, then you're supposed to submit some plans to the agency, and they've got all kinds of helps to help school districts figure this out. And by the way, in Texas, the first 12 weeks of school, you is exempt from all of this. They recognize this is going to be a learning curve. So they're allowing school districts to use last year's ADA to fund them. Anyway, so in that plan, you have different ways that you can gauge a student's level of engagement. It may be that they sign into their LMS. It may be that you're actually doing a Zoom and you're having some activity. It could be that they turn in an assignment to your learning management system, Google, for instance, like Google Classroom, Schoolology, Canvas, or just some of the ones. So the however you describe in the plan that you send into TEA, that's how you would measure their level of engagement, and that's how you would get your funding. So that is what's kind of driving some of the plans, is so that TEA in the spring, TEA waived all of this and they just funded them. They basically held them harmless. But you know, that is it's the state's responsibility to make sure that our children are educated. That is by our constitution, the national constitution. That responsibility lies with the state government. Mm-hmm. And then the state government, that's why they set the rules and policies for the local school districts. And so if it's their responsibility to make sure kids are getting educated, that's how they fund school districts. So they're basically, it's going to be a little tighter going in, particularly after that first 12 weeks. School districts are going to really have to make sure that those kids are attending their classes and engaged in the learning process if they want to get funded.
There's something interesting with the way we track attendance. I mean, whether or not you're at school at 10 a.m. or whatever it is, it could be kind of arbitrary on any given day for a student. With the asynchronous, there's almost an option to actually be tracking, are they engaging with the content we're teaching, and using that as a way of tracking whether they're actually showing up, so to speak.
Yeah, mentally showing up. You're exactly right, because you could be in the classroom and you could be asleep, but you're still getting, you know, attendance on them. Of course, we also have the accountability system, which is the other, you know, piece to this, to make sure those kids are engaged. They're eventually going to be tested on a state assessment. And then so it's very much, it behooves the school district to make sure that kid is engaged in the learning, because of the testing. But so you've got your attendance, but then you also have your state assessments to make sure that the school district is engaging with those kids.
And so, that kind of gives us a picture into the sort of space we're in with funding. What other changes have we seen at the state level that educators should be aware of? What's the trend we've seen? What are some of the pronouncements or the things that maybe we even missed that are coming into policy effect?
Well, I know... our association's affiliate of CETA, which is the State Education Technology Directors Association. So I have I'm giving that kind of as a caveat. I attend some of their meetings this summer. And so I know all states are grappling with this, not just Texas. I just know intimately what Texas is doing. But I've had a chance to work closely with TEA this summer on a task force that they put together called Operation Connectivity. Mm. And it was actually established by the governor along with the superintendent of Dallas and our commissioner. And our task was to make sure that our kids have the technical things they need in order to do remote learning, and that those things that they need have been identified as a device and then broadband. And so we have been working feverishly all summer, not just with the Operation Connectivity was a group of volunteers largely, and some TEA staff members working very, very hard for that. And so I say all that to say I've gotten kind of a glimpse of how hard the agency is working. I know our local school districts are working hard too, but our agency has been working extremely hard to try to provide the things that our educators need. In fact, TEA has created a COVID-19 kind of part of their website, and they have a ton of resources for local school districts to help them through the process. And one of the things that they're doing, they have something called home learning. They had home learning home learning two, and now we're at home learning 3.0. So home learning one and two happened in the fall, in the spring when all of this was happening, but home learning 3.0 is to help school districts going in the future. And one of the things that TEA is doing is they have purchased an LMS, they've purchased Schoology for any school district in the state that wants to use it for free for 2 years. And because, I talked about that asynchronous learning, the agency identified in order for school districts to be successful, what are the things that they need? And not every school district had a purchased LMS. A lot of people were, used Google Classroom, and which is a free LMS, which is a great tool, but doesn't have all the robust features. So that is one thing that they have done. They're also providing free curriculum materials for math, ELA, Spanish ELA, or not, it'd be Spanish LAR, and yes, science and social studies materials. And all of those are going to be digital. The math and ELA are pre-K through 12. The Spanish LAR, and then the science and social studies is pre-K through 5. And so, they've recognized for school districts to be successful, they need to have some kind of way to manage all of that. That's what the learning management system's for. And then they also need to have digital resources. And so they're providing a lot of that for school districts. Now, they're not completely ready. That's probably the only problem. They're slowly going to, Unit 1 is going to be released in August. Unit 2 is going to be released in September. Unit 3 soon after that. Unit 4 in November. Unit 5 in December. So those resources will be coming, but they'll be free. Learning, basically, instead of a textbook, they're going to be a digital version of that. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of, that TEA is really working hard to try to help. So that's home learning. Then you have Operation Connectivity to try to give the technical support for that.
Okay, folks, we are running out of time. Sorry for the cliffhanger ending, but you'll have to just come back next week. But between then and now, there is some extra credit you can learn as part of the EdTech Club. You see, here at TCEA, our incredible professional development team has been working all summer to put together affordable, useful courses for educators to get the basics and beyond for many useful tools and techniques, especially for remote learning, including our Remote Learning Educator course and our new course on Schoology, in addition to other learning management systems like Google Classroom and Canvas. Plus, we've got a world of courses on useful tools like Bitmoji and Seesaw, as well as great prep courses for other certifications and tons of tools you're familiar with, and maybe some tools you don't know about yet. So for extra credit, go ahead and check out our online courses, and if you find one you like, sign up. They are self-paced with self-reported grades and great outcomes. The folks who have been taking these courses really loved it. But of course, you don't have to take my word for it. Check out the link in the description to this episode. And well, you know what? That's a lot to consider, actually. We put a lot on your plate this week, and I'm sure it was already pretty full. So with that, I'll just say, Thanks for joining us this week, but please do come back next week when the conversation will continue with more useful information and ideas on this new school year. But until that time, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.